put your eyes on the TV screens. There's a video I want to share with you as we get ready to preach on this morning. Multimedia.
What do you want to do?
Worldwide
continue.
Good.
Is
that going to be easy?
No, sir.
It's not. Let's go.
That's
my son wants to work here. Let's go. Grab. Don't let go. Good. Don't let go. Grab. Don't let me go. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. You let go. Be grab. Grab it again. There you go. Get up. Get up. Recover. 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 You fail. Get back up. Come on. Come on. That's too slow. Get back up fast. There you go. Come on. Good. Come on. Come on. Come on. Get up. Come on. Deal with your emotions. Come on. You gotta get it. Come on. Come on. You hurt? You hurt?
Yes.
Where? Nervous. That's good. I hope that's recorded. That's really good. See, you tend to make excuses, and it's so jacked up for men and boys that we can't even be emotional. You couldn't just say you're nervous. You had to say you hurt. Something happened. Nothing happened. So now you can't execute. Go back. Grab him again. Say you're nervous. Loud, yell.
I'm nervous.
Say it loud.
I'm nervous.
Keep going. Keep saying it.
I'm nervous.
Good. Keep your breath.
I'm nervous.
Good. Don't let go. Keep your feet on it.
I'm nervous.
Good. Come on. Come on. Keep saying it.
I'm nervous.
Say it again.
I'm nervous.
Good. Don't let go. Get back up. Say it.
I'm nervous.
Say it again.
I'm nervous.
Say it again.
I'm nervous.
Say it again.
I'm nervous.
Come on. Engage. Come on. Say you're nervous.
I'm nervous.
Good. Come on. Say you're nervous.
I'm nervous.
Good. Say yes.
Yes, sir.
Good. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Look at one more person, tell them, whatever you do, just hold on. I saw this video this past week, and it really spoke to my heart and to my spirit, because here you have this little boy who tells his instructor, and in karate, his master, that he wants to be a robotics engineer. His master then asks him if it will be easy. The little boy says no. He then engages in an exercise where he tells the little boy to grab him, and whatever you do, don't let go. But after a few times of falling down, the little boy says he's hurt, but he wasn't hurt. We find out later he was nervous. You see, fear wanted him to make an excuse, to give him a reason to quit. But I love what his master did. He doesn't tell the boy to deny his feelings. He doesn't pretend that his feelings aren't really there. He doesn't even tell the boy to discount that his feelings are impacting him. But what the master does is he tells him to embrace your feelings by yelling, "I'm nervous." The master teaches him that there is power when we don't allow our fears to take hold of us, but that we learn how to take hold of our own fears. There's something so profound in that exercise, not just for young people, but all of us here, I believe, can learn a teaching lesson on what it means to just hold on, what it means to stare our fears in the face and embrace their reality while still holding on to what we believe God has called us to do. You see, fear, somebody say fear, allows us to get close enough to see the promise without ever experiencing the reality of what the promise actually feels like. It sure changes us from enjoying what God has already told us is ours. Fear paralyzes us, debilitates us, undermines us. Fear sidelines, disables, and even numbs us. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but all of us know that fear is real. It has a way of creeping into our minds and arresting our thoughts. It then passes its way into our hearts and begins to hold our own emotions hostage. Fear does not care about our happiness. Matter of fact, its sole purpose is to rob us of it. Fear wants us miserable, so then we can make those around us even more miserable. And fear, its greatest magic trick, is to make us feel like it's invisible, and that it's only operating in the lives of those around us without being able to see the negative impact that fear is actually having on each one of us. Because we will never deal with and address what we can't see. So as long as we don't see the fear, we will never conquer the fear. And if we don't conquer the fear, fear will always be in control of us. You see, fear attaches itself to us through all kinds of avenues that many of us have been down. The avenue of past hurts and bad experiences. The avenues of disappointment. No matter how long ago those things took place, fear is like Velcro that will not easily come off, but it has to be ripped off. It takes concentrated effort to confront and deal and embrace our fears so that we can finally get to a place where we can control, overcome, and conquer our fears. Fear attempts to take away our power and make us feel weak. Fear sabotages our ability to even think we can accomplish anything, even when we know God is still on our sides. It tells us that we are never enough. And we spend the majority of our lives feeling like we are invaluable and unworthy because of what fear makes us feel like. So we must embrace fear so that we can exclude it. We must address fear so that we can finally annihilate it. We must confront our fears so that we can put our fears in check. Look at somebody, tell them, whatever you do, just hold on. And the beauty of this thing called fear, though, is that we are not the only ones who've had to encounter. It was here before we got here. It'll be here when we leave. And the beauty is that in this verse in Matthew, the 26th chapter, the 38th verse, Jesus tells three of his own disciples that his soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. When we look at this text, we see a Jesus that we've never seen before, a Jesus that many times we don't even preach about. It's a Jesus that is contrary to the Jesus that we've seen throughout the Gospels. It's not the miracle working Jesus. It's not the healing Jesus. It's not the Jesus that took two fish, five loaves, and fed 5,000. No, this is a different Jesus we see. This is a depressed Jesus, a discouraged Jesus. This is a dejected and a dispirited Jesus. We see a Jesus so afraid that he tells three of his disciples that he's so depressed, he's feeling like he's at the point of death. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. You look good on the outside, but on the inside, you feel so sorrowful that you feel like you're at the point of giving up. But what's crazy is that this Jesus that's distressed and discouraged and dispirited and depressed, honestly, that's good news. Some of y'all may be looking at me and talking about, preacher, why in the world would that be good news? Because it lets us know that even Jesus experienced what it meant to have to deal with fear. Even Jesus knew what it meant to have your hands sweating and your heart beating fast, tears running down his eyes to the point where his tears were like blood. We sometimes forget that although Jesus was fully divine, that Jesus was also fully human, which means Jesus experienced human emotions the same way me and you do as well. And And in order to save us, he had to become just like us. And in order for us to know that we can overcome our fears, what better way than God to show Jesus overcoming his fears? And I believe the thing that we have to understand is that we're going to have to deal with fear. We've got to learn how to embrace it. We got to learn how to grasp our fears, seize our fears. Some of us here, we need to learn how to welcome our fears. We have to learn how to embody our fears. And that's what we see in this text, that Jesus showing us not only how to embrace and deal with fear, but how to just hold on. Look at somebody, tell them, whatever you do, just hold on. I believe that we see these three things. I'm going to take my seat and get us out of here. The first thing we see in the text is that in order to overcome fear, the first thing we have to learn is don't just stay there, pray there. Verse 38, we see Jesus having a rough day. His fears are getting the best of him. It could be that he feared his impending death that was right around the corner. It could be that he feared the torture and pain that he would suffer while dying on a cross for a sin he did not commit. It could be that he feared the separation he would feel from his Father in the midst of taking on the sins of humanity. I'm not exactly sure, Pastor Sterling, what he feared, but it's clear that he was embracing his fear. But what Jesus teaches us is not to just stay there with our fears, but to pray there with our fears. Verse 39 says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. And I don't know about you, but even when we looked at the video, it was the same thing with the little boy. The master didn't just let the little boy stay in his emotions, but he made him embrace his fears while still fighting against his opponent. And the problem for many of us is that we let our fears get the best of us. We allow our fears to overwhelm us, to discourage us, to worry and even depress us, but we don't always take those fears with us to God in prayer. We can't just stay in the fear, but we got to learn how to pray with the fear, that God will meet us right where we are, and we can take every emotion, every doubt, every worry that we have, stop pretending like it's not there, but taking it to God and saying, God, I'm nervous, but I'm just going to keep holding on. Second thing is, not only do you have to not just stay there, but pray there, but the second thing you have to understand is fear can't master us when we listen to our master. Let me help you here. The prayer Jesus prayed over and over again also gives us insight and understanding that the more we listen to God, it gives us what we need to overpower the fears that we are dealing with. Verse 39, Jesus tells him, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Something God shared with me is that if you aren't fearful of it, you won't need faith to overcome it. While it is true that the enemy will use fear to attempt to keep us from what God has for us, many times God will use fear to tap into a faith that we didn't even know was inside of us. And usually it's God's will versus our will that is sometimes where fear is birthed and faith is ignited. Isn't it interesting that Jesus was not fighting against the enemy? It was actually Jesus having conversation with the assignment that God had given him. And many times, some of our greatest fears don't come from what the enemy is attacking us with, but it's the assignment that God is trying to give us to do. Because many times, the assignment that God gives us seems harder than what we could ever imagine. And the only way you can overcome your fear, is with some faith. What I love about this video is that initially the little boy is giving up because fear has a hold of him. We can't hear the conversation inside the boy's head, but we can only imagine what fear is telling him. You can't win. Give up. You're weak. You don't have what it takes. You aren't going to make it. You don't deserve it. Anybody ever been there where fear literally is telling you, you can't make it, you can't do it, you'll never overcome it? So the boy concedes and starts to quit.
And he begins to make excuses for why he is where he is. So fear at this point is his master. But then we notice something interesting take place. His master, the teacher, begins talking to him, and his master is making him talk back to him. The voices of fear in his head starts to disappear as he listens more to his master's voice. The more he listens to his master, fear becomes powerless over him. Why? Because he begins to trust what his master is telling him instead of what the voices of fear have been trying to make him believe. The most important part of embracing our fears to finally conquer them is understanding that the voice of God is the only voice that really matters. Many times we have allowed the wrong voices to get into our heads, and we end up quitting because those voices are agents of fear. And their only assignment is to disqualify us from what God desires for us. But when we learn to listen to our master, we begin to feel the power and the presence and the authority of a God that cannot be shaken. Our confidence in God comes from our communication with God. God's word is God's voice, and God's voice gives us the confidence, the courage, and conviction that God is still in control over my life. Chains are being broken when we discuss our destiny with the divine. Psalm 27:3 says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. I'm just speaking word. Psalm 94:19 says, when fear was great within me, God's consolation brought me joy. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm just trying to speak word to you this morning. Because the word of God is the only voice that you'll ever need to hear. The only voice that can keep us sane. The only voice that gives us courage to move on. It's the only voice that calms our doubts and helps us alleviate our fears. It's the only voice that heals every broken heart. It's the only voice that restores what we lost. It's the only voice that uplifts our depressed minds. It's the only voice that encourages dispirited souls. It's the only voice that delivers us from every danger. It's the only voice that opens every locked door. It's the only voice that brings dead things back to life. I'm trying to talk to somebody. I don't care what your fear is doing to you. I just want you to know there's only one voice that you need to listen to, and that is the voice of God. The songwriter said, just to have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about your troubles. He'll hear our faintest cry and he'll answer by and by. If I feel a little prayer, we'll turn it. Because I know a little fire's burning. Just a little talk with Jesus makes everything all right. I thank God for somebody this morning that didn't feel like coming to church, but you got up anyhow. Somebody that didn't feel like putting the key in the ignition, but you turned it anyhow. Somebody that didn't feel like parking in the parking lot, but you parked it anyhow. Somebody didn't feel like walking in the church one more time, but you walked in anyhow. With your scared self, with your fearful self, with your nervous self, but you said, if I could just get to the house of God one more time, God will come see about. God's coming to see about me. Look at somebody, tell them I got the voice I need. I got the only voice I need. His name is Jesus. I don't need Oprah, I just need Jesus. I don't need Dr. Phil, I just need Jesus. I just need Jesus to just talk to me. Speak to my heart, Lord. Anybody here just need him to speak to your heart? Last thing is this. last thing you got to do in order to just hold on is you always have to remind yourself, whatever you do, don't ever let go. Thing that caught my attention in this passage of scripture, Reverend Dr. Nancy, is that it wasn't necessarily that Jesus kept going to see if the disciples were awake. Let me say this real quick. This ain't in here. The greatest way to help you deal with your fears is to stop concerning yourself with people who keep sleeping on you. You are worrying about the wrong things. Let me go back to the scheduled program. What caught my attention wasn't so much that Jesus kept going to see if the disciples were awake, but it's what happened every time Jesus returned. The Bible says each time he went back and prayed the same prayer. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. It says that he did this three times. My initial question for Jesus was, why were you praying the same prayer over and over and over again? And Jesus shared with me, he said, do me a favor, go back to the video, because the answer lies within the little boy. So I went back to the video, and I was looking at the video, and the master wouldn't let the little boy's fears win. He kept telling him to say that he was nervous, while at the same time making him practice over and over again to hold on and don't ever let go. At times, the boy would fall, but he kept holding on. At times, his hands would slip, but he kept holding on. And at some point in the video, you hear the tone in the little boy's voice change. No matter how afraid he appeared, there was a shift that let you know he was going to keep holding on to his master until he had accomplished what his master had told him to do. And Jesus, just like the little boy, recognized that after his first time praying, fear was still present. And I believe that he could hear from heaven his own Father saying, tell me you're nervous. After praying the same prayer the second time, fear still had not disconnected itself from Jesus. And I believe he could hear a voice from heaven saying, son, just tell me that you're nervous. But after the third time praying, something happened. Because when he went back to his disciples, he had accepted what was about to take place. The Bible says that Jesus tells disciples, look, the hour has come and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. This is not the same Jesus we saw in verse 38, who was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But this Jesus we see in verse 46 has a different tone. Something has shifted because he has wrestled all night with his fears while still holding on to his master. Until that which once had a hold of him, he now had a hold of it. And fear was no longer working against him because he had the assurance that what he needed to complete his assignment was inside of him. Sometimes we have to realize that fear doesn't just disappear because we want it to. Fear is like a bad cold that won't easily go away. And even when we think we are getting better, we still have a few symptoms that remind us to keep taking our medicine until the cold is actually gone. But we have to learn how to keep holding on to the things that we know will work. Can I tell you what works? Prayer works. Trusting in God works. Setting our minds on things above and not below works. Leaving our troubles with the Almighty works. The Bible tells to pray without ceasing. Not just because it's a good thing to do, but it's a practice that brings results. So I'm not telling you that fears will magically just disappear, but I am saying that God told us he didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I just came by to tell somebody this morning who came in afraid, somebody who came in fearful and scared, somebody who came in nervous and with doubts, to just keep holding on. Keep holding on until you embrace every one of your fears. Keep holding on until you lock into whatever God has told you to do. Keep holding on until God opens the door and unlocks every window in your life. Keep holding on until the worry evaporates and the doubts begin to dissipate. Keep holding on until you feel the peace of God whispering to you that everything is going to be all right. Keep holding on until fear no longer has power over you. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul holds to you. Your right hand upholds me. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I thank God that you came with your scared self. I thank God that you came with your nervous self. And I dare you to stand to your feet and tell God, I'm nervous. But keep holding on. I dare you to tell God, I'm afraid. But keep holding on. I dare you to tell God, I'm worrying. But keep holding on. I dare you to tell God, I'm stressing. But keep holding on. Is there anybody in here that'll give God a glory? Because in spite of what you came in with, you're still holding on to the master's hand. And can I tell you what I love about the video? That even when the little boy was holding on to his master, there were times when the little boy's hands would slip. And there were times where he would fall. And it looked like he was down for the count. But I thank God that even when he lost hold of his master, what you see in the video is that his master never let go of him. And I just stopped by to tell you that sometimes, even in your weakest moments, that God is still holding on to you. That even when you feel like giving up, that God won't let you give up, because God is still holding on to you. Why is he holding on to me? Because God has an assignment with your name slam on it. And until you complete your assignment, God won't let you go. That's why you feel a tension inside of you and a tugging on the inside, because you keep wanting to do what you used to do. But God is saying that's no longer your assignment. And until you do what I've called you to do, I won't let you go until you finish your assignment. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm nervous, but I'm going to do what they called me to do. I'm nervous, but I'm going to complete my assignment. I'm nervous, but I'm going to walk in my purpose. I'm nervous, but God is more than able to help me through what I'm going through. Is there anybody in here? You feel your strength coming. You feel your power coming. You came in one way. Your head was down. But now you got a phrase in your mouth. Because God is shifting the tone of your voice. You came in saying, I'm nervous. But now you're holding on saying, I'm nervous. I'm nervous. But I won't let go. Because God won't let go of me. Standing all over the church. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm nervous.